I'm Lauren.
And I'm Cheryl.
And on this episode of Lit Chicks Read, we're chatting Verity by Colleen Hoover. Are you ready? It pains me that we had to, it was very difficult for me to reread this book, to prepare for this podcast. There's so much in this book that's so disturbing that I just don't know what's wrong with Colleen Hoover. Did you have a thought like, what happened to you that like, this is how your brain is working?
I think you said that in your, in a reel or something. Didn't you say like, who hurt you, Colleen? Yeah,
like, I don't get it. It's just so I didn't want to reread it, but I did.
Yep. We're doing it for the people, Lauren.
Yes.
Everybody has been wanting us to talk about this book. And I think it's good for us, too, to like debrief it.
Yes.
But I was very reluctant to crack it open again. I listened to it this time, which made it a little bit different. That's I'm not sure if it was better or worse, actually.
I was going to say, that might just give me nightmares. I still just think every time my husband and I are like, you know, being intimate, that like I'm gonna look and Verity's in the doorway.
Who do you picture? I don't know why it is, but from the very start, the first time I read this book, in my head as Verity was Blake Lively. That's who I picture as Verity every single time. So picture her like standing up. Yeah, she does like a good creepy when she wants to.
I guess that's true. And I don't know, I didn't really picture anyone.
I don't know why. I was telling my husband yesterday when I was talking about the book to him, I was like, this book has my head like just in knots. He's like, well, what happens? And I'm like, okay. And I like,
you're like, buckle told, up. Yeah. Lay it all
told,
out there for you.
Told him the whole storyline. He was like, okay.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, I was telling him, I was like, I don't know why, but I just see Blake Lively as the Verity character.
I could see that. Ugh. I don't want any. I hope they actually.
I don't want to see it on screen, and yet I kind of do. Yeah, I think they would tame it down if they put it on screen.
I think they would have to tame down certain parts. Yeah. That are really brutal to read. But
agreed.
We are.
Or maybe give them more clarity as to like whether things are true or not, which actually could be very nice.
Maybe. Although I guess that would be like the screenplay adaptation. You know, like it's like we don't know. You're only getting Lowen's perspective, so you don't actually know, you know?
There's no absolute right or wrong or what you think is true in the end, that's for sure.
Right. Now this, so I just reread, right? So I got the new edition when the epilogue came out. So for those of you tuning in, we are going to talk about the epilogue in this episode. So if you have not read the epilogue yet and you want to read it before listening to us chat about it, then I would stop here. However, if you don't care about spoilers, I will sum it up for you. So because you do have to buy an entirely new book to get the epilogue. I had ordered it a while ago. So I have my new book here with the epilogue in it. And it's interesting because I read the epilogue, but I kind of wish I did my reread before reading the epilogue because I think I've changed my opinion.
Interesting.
On this book. And I'll explain what I believe is true.
Okay. So why don't you summarize it and then explain to me like what you felt before and what you felt after.
Summarize the book or the epilogue?
Just the epilogue.
Okay. Because you all know the book is just fucked up. So, you know, we don't need
to. Yeah. Yeah. We don't need to rehash that.
You don't need to rehash
If you haven't read it, go read it.
Yeah. Well, the epilogue is still fucked up. So, you know, in the epilogue, hold on. Let me actually open it so I get like actual like facts as far as like how old the baby is and things like that. So Lowen and Jeremy are obviously together now. It's 6 months later. So I guess it's 6 months after the 7 months, right? Because I think
The book ends 7 months.
Yes. It was 7 months.
She's 7 months pregnant.
The letter. Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's 6 months after the 7 months. So I guess 13.
So the baby's
months.
Like 3 months ish.
Yes.
Or no, like 4 months. 4 months.
She's 3 months old. Nova. So Nova is 3 months old. You know, they're living their life. But Lowen is just, I mean, I think she's definitely suffering some postpartum stuff, but she is just like in her head about Verity. Like Verity is basically haunting her in her thoughts, everything, right? So he's always like, she's always thinking like, did he look at Verity like this? Did he have sex with Verity like this? Am I, you know, as good as Verity? Blah, blah, blah. You know, like back and forth.
Obsessed.
obsessed. It actually kind of got annoying. I just wanted to like slap her and be like, get over yourself. You know, this woman's dead.
But yeah. She does keep, I mean, she was like that. She was in through the whole book. She was. But now even that it's like she it's over and Verity's dead and she's with Jeremy. Like she's still even worse, I think.
Yes. Way worse. So in her head about it, comparing everything to Verity and just can't get it out of her head. Obviously, you know, okay, so they have crew still. They move. They completely move locations so that people don't recognize them, right? So they upped and moved. Jeremy actually took Lowen's last name so that the Crawford last name was not there anymore. Uh-huh. They did all these changes to protect them having killed Verity, right? So they move to a completely other place to kind of like start over. So they go to the beach, Jeremy, Lowen, crew. Go to the beach and Jeremy's been running. So he's like super fit, which Lowen is basically just like feeling like shit about herself because she's, you know, 3 months postpartum again. I think she's got some postpartum stuff going on. So they're on the beach and Jeremy goes for a run down the beach and she's sitting with the baby and crew. And all of a sudden, a woman is walking a dog and recognizes her, which she finds very odd. And they, because again, they've moved, they've relocated, and they've kind of done everything they have to protect themselves. And also, don't forget, she was writing under a pen name. So no one knows her actual.
Her as Lowen.
Yes. Yep. No one knows her as Lowen. So the woman is like, hi, oh, you don't remember me? And she's like, I don't know. And she's like, I recognize crew. And Lowen's kind of like, okay, I have to like, I'm going to choose my questions and answers carefully here, right?
She's feeling really nervous, but like doesn't quite know what's going on.
Right. Something's not right. So she says, you know, do we know each other? And the woman's like, oh, not really. But she's kind of like eyeing Nova and crew. And then she asks if Nova is her daughter. And so the, you know, Lowen says yes. And the woman's like, okay, how old? And so crew then answers, she's my sister. And then the woman kind of like immediately it clicks into place and is like, so then is that makes Jeremy the father? And then the woman is says that she's Patricia. Now I actually went back in the book and found the part of the book where she meets Patricia. And that
I did that too.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's in the grocery store, right?
In the grocery store. And
or Target. Target. Is it Target or a grocery store or something like that?
Either one of them. And that's where Jeremy's like, oh, give my best to
Sherman. It's a store of some kind.
Yes. Yeah. He goes, give my best to Sherman. And Patricia goes, his name is William. And he's like, oh, that's right. I get them confused. And then she's kind of like taken aback by it. And Jeremy's like, that's the guy she fucks behind her husband. Yeah. That kind of thing. Anyway, so they clearly don't have like the best, you know. Anyway, so
it's not a good relationship. Correct. She says she's a friend of Verity's.
Yes.
Like when they first meet. Yeah.
Yes. So, yes, she and she says we met at the grocery store back in Vermont. You just moved in with Verity and Jeremy and now you have a baby with him. Anyway, Jeremy then comes up behind Patricia, says hi, and then the baby starts kind of like freaking out. So, you know, and they're kind of like, so I think Lowen kind of pulls away a little bit, but they're still talking like, oh, you failed to mention at the funeral, you're going to be a father. Like all these like kind of like side digs here and there
right,
to basically just say, you know, like, I don't approve of this. So then Patricia walks away with her dog and Jeremy says to Lowen, I need you to take the kids to the car. And long story short, he basically goes and drowns Patricia.
So, yep, he does.
Drowns her. Drowns her.
Yep, yep.
So two murders on this man's hand that we know of, right? That we know of.
That we know of.
That we know of. And basically they are just like Lowen is basically like, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck? There's nothing else to say at this point. And that's essentially how the book ends. Like, there's really
and he says he does it for them, right? Like, he says she could have exposed us, which is, you know,
the same thing he says about Verity when you go back.
Yes, yes. Exactly.
So, yes. But it basically just ends with, oh, it's just an accident. It's going to be fine. And Lowen's just basically like, what? Oh, wait, I missed the other part. When crew also, who doesn't really love Nova, leaves the baby outside in the cold because he doesn't want to hear her crying anymore. So
Jeremy and Lo are being intimate, right? Is that the shower scene? And because she's trying to like reaffirm their relationship and again like feeling so inferior to Verity still, she's like doing everything she can to be like sexually attractive to Jeremy because yeah. she believes that their sex life was better than their sex life now.
Yes.
And yeah, baby was crying, so crew puts her outside.
Mm-hmm. In the cold, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And then there's that part where crew says something about Nova and is just like, well, she's just going to die anyway.
Yes. Yes.
Like, that's dark.
Before the epilogue, I was like, okay, I'm team manuscript because one, I just have no idea how, even if it was a writing exercise, and again, I'm not an author.
I don't know.
But I would think that you would maybe write about someone that's not you with such awful things mm-hmm. like that because like the co-hanger part, really, the attempted murder part, like it's really challenging for me to read, let alone like I can't imagine why you would write an autobiography, you know, I'm using mm-hmm. air quotes, you can't see me there, but
she's air quoting, yeah,
about yourself and your family in such a twisted way, like right. I don't know,
like it says the author the editor suggested it, but like why would you keep doing that?
I would make it be about someone else, like I don't think I don't think I could have that connection, right?
No, like the thought of it makes me want to vomit.
Literally, yes. So that's where I was like, team manuscript. Because
who would write this if it wasn't true?
Who would write it? Okay.
Right. Okay.
But now, and then I want to hear your thoughts on this. Now, after rereading the letter, okay.
Yep.
So I just reread the letter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So... And then reading the epilogue, I already questioned Jeremy, and now I just questioned him even more because there's just so many parts in the book. I literally marked down all these parts in the book where he kind of made me go, huh? Like, he's like, oh, okay, I've seen worse. Okay, well, yes, you know, you said your
child died. At the beginning, yes, he says that after the accident. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He just like makes all these little, I don't know, all these little like comments that just kind of make me, I don't know. I don't know. Part of me thinks that he clearly like hunted down Loen. And then how do you invite someone to come? I would never just invite someone I don't know to come live at my house with me. You know what I'm saying?
With like, a traumatized family.
Right. Like, I think there's, you know, and then like the, I don't even know. I have all these things like. All these things just that I marked down to make me think, like, I don't want to say the letter is true, but I mean, maybe Verity was freaking terrified of her life. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, I do know what you mean.
He clearly is psycho. We only know of two murders. Like, we don't actually know, right? I mean, well, we know the peanut allergy. Okay, yeah. So we know the one daughter died of the peanut allergy. The other daughter died, and we did get that in the letter, right? So the other daughter died from drowning. But just like, I mean, then part of me is like, was Verity just a mom who was literally terrified and plotting, like she said, to escape in the middle of the night with her son? Maybe she really was, because Jeremy is psycho.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you just decide to drown someone? Like, I don't know.
Right. So quickly. Like, he made that decision in like seconds.
Yeah. So this seconds. Is now I'm like, I have been team manuscript all this time. And now.
Like, and who even cares? Like, if the lady knew that, put it together that she had gotten pregnant earlier, like, it doesn't make them look good.
Right. No, it doesn't make them look good, but you didn't say, I killed her. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, right. So,
no.
I don't understand why. I don't know. And even then when he killed.
And remember, they still have the manuscript and the letter. Oh, no, they don't have the letter. Never mind.
They don't have the letter. She flushed
got rid of it. Yeah. But they – okay. So, okay. Do you want me to tell you what I think?
Yeah, I do. Because it really – like at this point – and then again, like we got to remember, Jeremy knew about the manuscript. So he knew about the manuscript.
He knew about it. Okay, so it's in question when he knew about it.
Right.
He either knew about it earlier, according to Verity, or he knew about it when Loen showed it to him. Either way, he knows. It's just when he found out.
He knew. Yeah. Right. And so he knew about that. And, you know, I mean, even just the thing that she says in this letter, like, the autobiography was the last file I opened. You know, it, she's like going on about how it's not true. It's okay. It's not true. Then he's, if this is true, you were dragging me by my throat to the bedroom. I was no match for your strength as you held my arms down with your knees and squeezed my throat even tighter. If you'd given me 5 seconds, just 5 seconds to explain, I could have saved us. I tried so hard to say, just let me explain, but I couldn't. Right. So then she wakes up in the passenger seat of her Range Rover, tape on her mouth, hands and feet bound together, didn't have a seatbelt on, you know. And then she said it was one simple sentence in my manuscript about how I should turn off the passenger airbag and drive my car into a tree while Harper was unbuckled so her death would look like an accident. You were going to kill me and make it look like an accident. I unknowingly had written my own death in the last two sentences of my manuscript. So, you know, like she goes on about all of that, right? Didn't quite work out. Blah, 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 blah. Very little memory. Okay. And then that's, she pretended to be in a coma. And then she even said, like, one day he caught her with her eyes open as she walked into the hospital room. You stared at me. I stared back. I saw your fist clenched as if you were pissed I had woken up. You know, you took a few steps toward me, but I decided not to follow you with my eyes because your rage terrified me. So, you know, like, as I start to read it. So I pretended for weeks. I felt like it was my only means of survival. I was going to fake the extent of my brain injuries. Like, you know, like all these things that now makes me think like, huh, maybe he's, I mean, I always thought he was a bad guy, but maybe he really is the bad guy. And she's saying everything I'm doing is for crew. All, you know, for my little boy, I have no choice. Like, he's the only one I have left. Blah, 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 blah. Like all this stuff. And then, yes. And then again, the author thing and all that, you know, she goes through like the whole situation of Lowen. So we know this letter is now, right? Or like when, you know, when
it's current, right? Because she says she writes it the night that she hears them together in the bedroom, right? Yes. Then that's the night, remember, that they got locked in from the outside.
And she said she did it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the letter, she said she,
which is a kind of a sus decision if you're trying to not be discovered.
Did you just say sus?
I did. I have children who play. Yeah,
my son
play a lot of video games.
Sus. I go, what the hell is sus to me? Anyway, but yes, I mean, I think so. That's what I mean. Like all of this stuff actually does play out. Mm-hmm. As it happens from Lowen's standpoint in the book, right? We don't have Jeremy's point of view.
And you can never 100% trust your narrator if your narrator is a character in the book, right? Because you don't know what they're noticing, not noticing.
Exactly. So that's the thing. Mm-hmm. Like she admits that she does that, right? She had to, let's see, blah, blah, blah. Right. I think she said she admitted to locking them in, search everywhere for the manuscript.
I mean, it had to have been them. Yeah.
Right. I mean, oh, yeah. That's what, okay. However, you were so occupied with her right now, I feel it's my safest time to write this letter. I locked the door to the master bedroom, so I'll be able to hear you trying to get out. It'll provide me with enough time to hide this letter and get back in place before you can make it upstairs. So it's like all of that is factual. So now I'm just, well, again, as we know it. So I don't know. I wonder if now I believe the letter.
Okay.
What do you think? So, that's where I stand.
Okay. Okay. So pre-epilogue or additional chapter or whatever. I can't remember what she actually labeled it. This book messed me up hard, but I believe the manuscript. Okay. Pre-epilogue. I believe the manuscript.
Okay.
Yep. However, I think even if you believe the manuscript, that doesn't make Jeremy innocent. There's enough stuff in there. Like you said, like we only know the stuff about their courtship, like Verity and Jeremy together. We only know about it from the manuscript, right? So any of that stuff has to come from there. Then the stuff that we have from Lowen when she meets Jeremy, there was enough things like you. It just tweaked something in me. Like there was something that like in my gut, I was like,
red flags.
Red flags. It's just like something else was happening here. We can go through it point by point after, but like I believed the manuscript. I believed that Verity was not well in herself and did these things. The letter I believed was like a scapegoat kind of thing. Like she's trying to put it more on Jeremy because she knows that Loewen is involved with Jeremy and she wants to continue to mess with them. I don't think she wrote the letter for Jeremy to find. He didn't find it.
No, he didn't.
Like she didn't hide it very well if she wanted him to find it. And if she was terrified for her life, why didn't she try to enlist? I know she was waiting for the money from the new royalty check, but like she didn't even know that was going to be a thing. Like there was a bunch of time passed before that contract and Loewen even entered the picture, right?
Right.
But even once it did, I know she's waiting for the money to escape with crew is what the letter said. But I just feel like there was so much in the letter that if it was written for Jeremy, it like she didn't have to rehash some of the stuff she did in the letter because he would have known that stuff. He was part of it. She didn't have to hide it where she did because he didn't find it. And she knew like that Loewen had seen her. Or she,
yes,
she figured out that Loewen had seen her like rooting around on the floor, right? So that she might have figured that out or crew might have given it away. Because even though she told crew not to talk to Loewen about certain things, she knew that they were
right
talking about certain right. things or that Loewen was wise to certain things. So it just seems like the hiding place is much more for Loewen than for Jeremy. Mm-hmm. And so why didn't she try to enlist the nurse, Loewen herself? You know, like it just, it seems...
Well,
I can't believe the letter 100% either.
Yeah. To the point of the nurse, though, we don't know that she didn't try.
I guess that's true.
Like that's
I guess that's true. We know nothing happened that we know of. But
no, but we do know that April did not really like Loewen.
No.
The nurse.
Right. But why does she not like her? If she feels that if Verity expressed something to April... And then this new girl comes in the house, wouldn't April be like, oh, shoot, that girl's in danger too?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
There's part of that April being wise to some of it, like resonates with me because, okay, so we're both former health professionals. Mm-hmm. I just find it really hard to believe that someone could play that so convincingly for so long. Like Loewen even verbalizes at times, like, how does she not like flinch?
Right. Like when she throws the ball, like the wooden.
Yeah.
Ball,
like maybe then she could have heard she was in the room and kind of prepared herself for it. But like over that whole length of time, many months or whatever it is, I can't believe that she would.
Like how
that's like, that's some skill. And you'd have to be like, I mean, even just such basic things as like, pooping in a diaper and lying in your own waste and things like that. Like there's so many things to do with a person being in that state and what their body needs that I just find that like you would have a high level of skill to pull that off.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it just raises a question for me. Okay. So here's another thing that makes me think manuscript.
Okay.
When the twins are born. Mm-hmm. And Chasten has that big scar.
Yes.
So the story is either the OB really plays that off quickly and is like, oh, yeah, it's nothing. It could be this. Blah. And of course, manuscript Verity says that she tried to abort using a coat hanger. Awful, like you said. Mm-hmm. So one of my best friends happens to be an OBGYN who specializes in twins. And so I talked to her.
Did you ask her?
I did. And she was like, I was like, okay, so I didn't even bring up the abortion attempt first. I was like, okay, so if twins are born, what would you think about it? And she's like, I don't really know what would cause that. She's
I feel
could it be this or this? She's like, I don't know. And then I told her like, what if it was this? And she's like, oh yeah, that.
Yeah. So what I found interesting about that part, like I could see like a birthmark. You know, but like a scar and they said fibrous tissue, right? I'm like,
it didn't make sense to me. No, there's all kinds of things that can happen in the womb.
Yeah.
Bands and all these things.
Yeah.
But like a scratch that looks like a scratch down a face.
Yeah. Doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. So that tweaks to manuscript being true for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you.
What else? So let's go through there's other points. So, you know, we only know about Jeremy and Verity's first meeting from the manuscript, but when Jeremy talks about it, the points that he says do confirm what was in the manuscript, right?
Yes.
So why were they both at this charity event? Why were they there? Neither of them was rich. They were both poor, essentially, or just like, you know, regular working class. it seemed like they were both at this event to pick up a rich person, right? So remember, Verity in the manuscript says she like borrowed the dress. She was going to return it after. So she was essentially crashing the party to find herself a rich man.
Right.
Jeremy is doing, he's just a real estate agent.
Yes.
Remember? And then he like brings her into that limo. Remember, he does that thing where it's like, is it cute or is it controlling, where he's like tells the bartenders not to serve her anymore because he won't feel right about taking her home if she's continues to drink.
Yeah.
You know, and like, okay, well, you could look at that as cute, but you could also look at it like, I think from the start, they lie about their ages together. Like from the start, there's tweaks, right? So, you know, like the name Verity means truth, right?
Yes.
And it's, we find out in the very beginning, like the series that Verity has been writing is based on the virtues.
Yes.
And the virtues that are left to write are courage, truth, and honor, mm-hmm. which are very funny considering if we think about the whole
manuscript. Yeah.
The whole manuscript versus letter debate. And
yeah, I feel like
the characters, like those are the most important virtues in this story.
Yeah, I feel like that wouldn't just be thrown in there for nothing.
You know, I don't think anything she threw in there was for nothing.
Right.
And that's why I think how you and I both tweaked that there was something about Jeremy. Mm-hmm. I think that's completely valid. I think that we wouldn't feel that way if she hadn't fed that to us. Right.
Yeah.
So like even from the first time Verity and Jeremy meet, they both meet at this charity function that it doesn't seem like either of them really have a place at. And then there's like a series of white lies that happens in that first meeting. This is all manuscript, but backed up by what Jeremy tells Loan. I don't know. It just seems like there's something behind them both. Mm-hmm. Now, let's pick up apart a couple of things. So Verity, we know that her parents, she's estranged from, disowned from, whatever. Jeremy says it was from when she started writing books about villains and that her parents were, you know, super religious and not on board with that. I don't know. I think there's something more there, you know, and even when he tells them about her accident or that she's died, I can't remember which it is. They say, you know, evil gets what's coming to it or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, I wonder if there was more.
More of the story there.
There's more of the story. There's more to her childhood. There's more to her upbringing. You know how like parents of serial killers will find like, you know, animal sacrifices or find weird things. Like maybe all these clues we're getting about Crew.
Right. Well, That's what I mean. So even with him, like reading the epilogue, I'm like, oh, okay, you got a serial killer in the making right there. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
That's what the next book's going to be in like 15 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like there's more there for Verity, but I also feel like there's more there for Loan. So remember, she's like a sleepwalker, but her mom seemed really scared of her. As a kid, from what we've been told.
Well, didn't she wake up like on a ledge or something?
She like broke her hand, woke up covered in blood, like all this stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There's something there too. And it also kind of like, you know, she does this stuff that she's not aware of. It's like the whole second personality kind of theme that I feel like wasn't thrown in there for nothing.
Right.
Also, Loan talks about how she used to have a relationship with her
agent. Corey. Yeah.
Yes. Because, like, what a douchey name. Corey. Nowadays. Sorry to any Coreys.
I was going to say.
I grew up, like, in love with Corey Haim. It was like the Corey Haim, Corey Feldman era.
Okay.
I don't know. Right now, the name Corey just, like, kind of tweaks things for me.
Got it.
So, but he read her book and she talks about how he fell in love with her heroine, assuming that her heroine was like her. And she says, little did he know it like wasn't anything like me. And she even has a line where she says, like, I think the idea of me was better than the reality. And of course, my brain was like,
the idea of you. There you go.
But I wonder if the same thing happened for Jeremy, because of course, we start out feeling like, or hearing that it was Verity who liked Loan's writing style.
Right.
And it was her who, you know, would have been supportive of the meeting, supportive of her taking over the series. But then Jeremy comes clean at one point and says it was actually me that read the stuff.
And the book, wait, the book, wasn't it called Open Ended? Was that the name of her book? look at that. Another little boop. Oh, Colleen.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, her book title, going back through it, I was like, huh, that's an interesting
It's funny
name.
When you reread a book, like what you notice that you didn't the first time.
I'm telling you, all these little tiny little.
And that's so valid. It's like totally, I think an author, I can't speak as a novel author. I've written little things, but not a novel. But like, I think that they write it a certain way. So you're guided a certain way when you read it. But on reread, you might tweak to things that you didn't notice the first time. Mm-hmm. And I definitely did that with this book. Like, in a way, I have to thank y'all because I had no intention of reading this book again. It disturbed me so much.
I know.
But everyone was like, can you guys record Verity? Can you guys record Verity?
I know. Like, it was like, okay. Yeah, open-ended. Yes. Open-ended. It was one of Verity's favorite books. Yep. That's Dang. What it was. Yeah. Open-ended. Well, and Verity's manuscript title is So Be It.
So I feel like there's something in both Verity and Loewen's backgrounds. I also feel like there's more in Jeremy's because, okay, he's kind of painted as this perfect man in Verity's manuscript, right?
From both of them, though. Like, yes.
Right. And Loewen's like the current day.
Yeah.
And then we get that kind of flipped in the letter, and then we get that like confirmed mm-hmm. in the new chapter epilogue. I feel like there's more there.
Maybe he's like a Jeffrey Dahmer. I don't know the full story there. I haven't watched that yet. But you know what I mean? Or he's like, who was the other
something.
Guy? Charles Manson.
Well, people, so multiple people have compared him to the character from the series You.
Oh, okay. Book, I haven't seen that, series. But I do hear it's creepy.
I haven't seen it either. It's not at all something that I want to subject myself to. Although I really like that actor. I loved him in Gossip Girl. Mm. And we're bringing it back around because Gossip Girl, Blake Lively.
There you go.
Verity is.
But wasn't Charles Manson the one who would kind of like romance his...
He was very charismatic.
Yeah. Like part of me just wonders if like Loewen's next on the kill list. Do you know what I'm saying? I well, really get those
vibes.
Doesn't
she even think that?
Yeah, she does. Like, at the end, at the epilogue, yeah. She's like, what the hell am I next? Like, you know?
Right.
And she's stuck. Now she's got a baby with this dude.
However, we know that Loewen is not an innocent in this story, right?
No. Like she's the one who told him how to kill her.
How to kill her.
Exactly. Yes, it has to look like an accident. Do this. And I was like, I don't know what to do.
And about that, the do this, remember how Verity in the letter said, like, without knowing to, I described how you were going to kill me with the car accident. But I was mm-hmm. like, she also described the whole choking somebody until they vomited thing. So she
right.
described both of her
right. deaths. That's true. Both of her deaths. Oh, I guess that would make sense. That's where Loewen got it, right? I guess. But I yeah. mean.
So let's go. Wait. Okay. Because that just came up. I find it hard to believe. We talked about the health professional and it was hard. It would be hard to pull one over on them.
Mm-hmm.
For so
one
long.
Would think. Yeah.
One would also think it might be hard to pull it over on a forensic team, whoever investigates accidents, if the way that the letter set up the accident, that she was A, taped in multiple places, like that leaves marks.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
She would have struggled. And before that, she said that he choked her.
Correct. There should be like some kind of markings.
Why did that not leave swelling, bruising marks?
Yeah.
And if she had the, like, correct me if I'm wrong, what seat was she actually in when the accident happened? Was she a passenger or driver?
So
because she talks about killing Harper with and passenger seat airbag tied off or turned off. And I was like, who puts their kid in the passenger seat anyway?
Yeah, she said she woke up in the passenger seat of her Range Rover and Jeremy was behind the wheel. Tape on her mouth, hands and feet bound together. Right. I looked down and realized I didn't have on a seatbelt. You were going to kill me and make my death look like an accident. Right. I realized in
but
that
is that
moment,
how the accident actually happened with her in the passenger seat?
I don't
because
know.
How would they not know that?
I don't. She actually doesn't. Hold on. Wait. I realized in that moment, if you were ever suspected of my death, all you had to do was provide the manuscript. Okay. Oh, she said, I'm assuming you removed the tape from my hands and feet, placed me into the driver's seat of the vehicle. And
what made her pass out if she woke up with the tape on?
And walked back home where you waited for the police to come notify you that I had died.
So had the accident and then removed the tape and moved her over? In which case, they're going to figure that out. A, how did Jeremy walk away from it?
I don't know. I know. That's a... Yeah, right.
And without anything. And how did she... How is there no evidence that someone's sitting in the passenger seat?
Yeah, it's just very, it's unclear and doesn't add up. This would be like, well, this could be, a, it would be like, I could see it on like the true crime documentaries. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like,
yes. You
know, like the podcasters are the ones who are going to figure it out.
That makes me feel like, yeah.
Yeah.
But I know. It makes me feel like the letter has more holes than the manuscript.
Okay. That makes sense. I see your point. Yeah. Because she doesn't really say, she just says, I'm not sure. I'm relieved that it failed. It would almost be easier if I had died in that wreck because pretending to be injured has been difficult.
Yeah.
But she doesn't, right. She doesn't go into, does he have any? So how long was it when we go back, like beginning of the book, how long has she been in a coma for?
She hasn't been home for very long. I remember that. But I don't know how long she was at the hospital and rehab center before she came home.
Like, I wonder, did we miss something that says like Jeremy maybe has like some kind of mark on him?
I don't think so.
I don't think I noticed that either. No. I mean, the beginning, which is terrible. Like the first line of the book should just be, anyway.
Okay, wait, pause right there. We have to credit. This is like the best slash worst first line of a book ever. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the opening line. I hear the crack of his skull before the spattering of blood reaches me.
I can't.
Mm-hmm. It's so bad. And then like within that first section, she says that the guy who stepped out in the street, his head popped like the cork of a champagne bottle, mm-hmm. which reminded me of like our podcast intro.
I did think that too. Now every time I'm going to be like,
oh God, it's the head.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. But it ran through my head. If we're thinking that like, enough things tweaked us to Jeremy that we're like, okay, so maybe he's not all like perfect as the manuscript says. What if he definitely set up the meeting with Loewen? What if he figured out what she looked like? What if he was waiting for her there? What if he pushed the guy into the street?
Right.
Like, I just have so many questions about him.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm scanning now just to see if like, if they ever say anything, right? Because he takes his shirt off to give it to, right? No. Uh-huh. Yeah, she takes her shirt off.
Her shirt's covered in blood. So yes. He takes his shirt off to give to her. He might be wearing like, he's probably wearing an undershirt or something.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
But
he's already, okay. I'm just looking to see if like there's anything revealing a white undershirt beneath it. He's muscular, taller than me, take the shirt, blah blah blah. I mean, I guess she wouldn't necessarily like notice anything in that like frame of mind. But I'm just looking. I mean, she notices that he's not as affected as she is.
I think it's been long enough that there wouldn't be a mark on him, even if he had been in the accident.
He's handsome, but there's something about him that makes me think he wishes he weren't, almost as if his looks might be an inconvenience to him, a part of him he doesn't want anyone to notice. Interesting.
I'm telling you, there's something more to him.
Yeah.
Like, I'm picturing, okay, so a guy, let's picture your husband and my husband as a person that just like goes through amazing trauma. Would they instantly be able to kill you or me because they found out we had harmed our children? Would they instantly be able to kill somebody randomly walking down the beach because they reckon, like, I cannot even fathom that shift of mind,
right?
Take someone from a completely honest, like,
yeah, the Patricia thing,
ethically
in the epilogue,
sound person,
yeah. Yeah, like the Patricia thing, it, I feel like, is even more. I don't want to say like, I mean, God, I'm not saying like, oh, yes, I can understand why he'd kill Verity. Please, no, I'm not saying that, but there's obviously more history there than there is Patricia. So that's where the epilogue just kind of like
throws
you.
Patricia was too easy. But right. I feel like, and I said this to someone else, that the epilogue for me confirmed what my suspicions were, right? Like, yeah. I always knew there was something more to Jeremy.
For sure.
And
yes.
I feel like the epilogue led us down that path.
Yes. Right. So that's exactly what it did for me too. It made me be like, huh. Maybe you are the crazier one, the craziest of them all, because I think they're all messed up.
I think I completely agree.
Loewen too.
All three of them. Loewen, very well. All four. Very, four. Very. Jeremy, Loewen, and crew now.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm
all
sorry,
messed up.
But if I was to just like randomly, like, I sure as hell would not. The whole thing would just be so bizarre. The second, I don't know, I would have been out of there so fast. I'd be like, yeah, you're attractive, but there's more fish and there's plenty of fish in the sea. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't. So there's a few things that indicate Jeremy's, like, I don't want to say innocence, but remember when he's like, Lowen is like, she can move. She's, you know, go and look at her. I saw her moving, whatever. And he's like, you are talking crazy, and tries to get her to like leave.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty like innocent man, you know, because he's like very struck by it. Why would he get her to leave or try to get her to leave if he was orchestrating her whole being there?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not sure about that, but of course that could be an act as well. Okay. I have a question for you.
Okay.
Do you think Chasten's death was an accident?
The peanuts? The one who
died. Yeah.
So,
I mean, it was an accident, but do you think there were contributing factors?
I mean, I could see that one's hard for me because I know stories of several people who have passed away that way, you know, like, so that's where I had a teacher in nursing school who her biggest thing was checking on allergies because she actually lost her son to an allergy. And like, it was as simple as the hamburger. Like, I think it was the son's girlfriend, maybe like had like was cooking up hamburgers. Maybe it was like from Costco, whatever. It wasn't like a freshly made hamburger, right? It was like frozen or something like that. And in it, it happened to be like a trace of nuts. And it killed him. So I could see how that could actually just happen and not be like Harper. I don't think it's fair that she blamed Harper.
Oh, I don't think it's Harper.
Yeah, because I feel like, and especially we know Harper is on the spectrum. It actually made me angry at Verity that that's how she was judging Harper. Agreed. And we know that Jeremy really was mad at her for how she treated Harper. So that I like, again, really pissed me off in this book. So I don't know, but I also don't want to say, I don't know. I do truly think that was an accident, but I think like, as far as no one prompted it, like nothing from Verity or Jeremy.
I don't think anyone did it on purpose, but the part of it that like kind of intrigues me in the context of we're reading this book where like everybody is doing crazy things, right? If I had a child who had a life-threatening allergy, that child would know every single sign of what to look for. And so when you have an allergic reaction, unless she like ate it and immediately fell asleep or something, she's gonna have noticed signs. Why wouldn't she have woken someone up? Why wouldn't she have gone? Why wouldn't they have taught her to use her EpiPen herself?
I don't know. And she's just raised eight, a few
questions for me.
Yeah, I could see that because she was eight, right, when that happened.
Yeah, it's like old enough to know.
Yes, and also when it is, I mean, they said they confirmed anaphylaxis. I mean, I'm not.
Oh no, I think it happened.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I just wonder why, like,
why in her sleep
did they ever check that she had an EpiPen on her? Did they ever check that the EpiPen was not expired? Did they ever check that she tried to?
Because I do find it with anaphylaxis, it's something. I mean, my understanding is that it happens right away.
Relatively.
Right? Mm-hmm. So,
like in the hospital, we measure for things within the first 15.
That's what I mean. Minutes, right? So I feel like it's not likely that she would have eaten whatever it was they got into and then immediately fell asleep 2 minutes later. Do you know what I'm saying? Like there's
time there. And I also feel like if this is a husband wife that is completely healthy and sane and there's nothing else going on like we've been speculating, would they not have taught their child how to deal with this stuff and how to deal with her EpiPen at that age? So even the fact that they might not have done that seems like a form of neglect.
Even though, I mean, she does say like they talk to the parents about it. I probably also, but I mean, maybe I might be a little bit of a, I feel like eight. I mean, it sounds like they were close with the I mean, again, there's so many things there, but I do not have a child with allergies, but I feel that if I was, I would be very hesitant. Mm-hmm. Just because, again, you don't know.
I mean, I don't have a child with allergies, but you know I do have a child with chronic disease.
Yeah.
And the only times he has had, I mean, literally anyone he's had a play date or a sleepover with is aware
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it said she was.
Very aware. He's very aware.
Yeah. Your son.
Yeah. It said that the place was the mom was aware. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that she put stuff away, but she didn't know that the kids went into the pantry. But I just think, I don't know. Again, it's a judgment, but I'm sort of like digging into them.
No, I get what you mean, though.
Figure out like who's true here, who's telling the truth.
Yeah. Because I feel like at eight is very different than like four or even five. Like my 8 year old.
Like my kid is nine.
Yeah.
Like
mine too.
Just turned nine. So yes. at 8, 100% he would have known all this.
Yeah. Stuff. I mean, he can read, especially if it is something like that. That's huge. That's not just like, okay, yeah, you know, you break out if, I don't know, like one of my children is allergic to dogs, but it's not on an anaphylaxis, like it's not, and he won't have an anaphylactic reaction.
It's not that
to
level,
it.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Like, but even he, even that child knows, you know, like, okay, if you do touch a dog, you need to wash your hands right after. Don't let that dog lick you on the face. Right. Things like that.
Right.
And we've gone over that since that diagnosis happened. So
yeah,
I feel like, right, like that's something you're literally ingraining into them. To protect them. I mean.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's where I'm going with this is that it's not that someone did something intentionally to Harper, but by them not teaching her about this, does it sort of reflect on them?
Well, I mean, that she was not, if the manuscript is correct, then yes, she was a very neglectful mother.
Well, exactly, I mean, right? Like leaving them to cry all day in their room.
Yeah.
Like so she could sleep and it makes me sick.
I know.
And then, so with Chasten, no, so that was Chasten. So then with Harper, so let's pick that apart. So, you know, manuscript story is that she did it on purpose.
Right.
Letter story is it was an accident and I tried and I couldn't save her. Mm-hmm. But.
Because of the fishing net.
Right.
Yeah.
But if I'm in a canoe with my two children without life jackets, knowing that they can't swim and it starts to tip, I am screaming.
Oh, for
sure. Both of them.
Hold your breaths.
Yeah. I'm not like, oh, crew, honey.
Yeah,
hold your breath, baby.
Yeah.
And then like once they're both in the water, I'm not getting the one kid to shore before I get the other one. She even talks about how she knew that there was a air bubble under the canoe.
Mm-hmm.
Like stick your kid under there and get him to hold on to the, I forget what they're called, but like the cross rails in a canoe and then find the other one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like swimming one back to shore and then going back to look. I don't know. It just, I feel like the manuscript story feels more genuine.
Yeah, I get what you mean. I mean, then again, I feel even bad. Like, obviously, we're dissecting fiction because accidents do happen, right?
Of course.
So, like, I don't want to.
I don't want anyone to think this is judgmental.
That was my thing. I'm like, I don't want anyone to
just
think that, like,
talking about this book.
Yes.
And based on like
accidents
multiple
do happen
clues about.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Let's make that clear.
Like, well, I think I need to clarify that.
Picking apart a fictional character.
Yes.
And with all the clues that we've been given, what is more likely for her to do?
Yeah. I wonder if
she was letter verity versus manuscript verity.
So that actually brings me to, so we asked over on our Instagram page what people thought. Actually, some had kind of fun questions too. Someone said she wrote the letter to save her ass and cover her liability. Possibly. Someone said Verity killed Harper. Jeremy tried to kill Verity once he found out. Mix of letter and manuscript.
Mm-hmm. That's sort of where I am landing. Everyone's bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeremy concocted the whole thing. Book two will be called Lowen. It's possible. I didn't see... Someone said, I didn't see a point in the additional chapter, but thinking now, I feel like there's something hidden about Jeremy, which again, we've felt that the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Him just killing Patricia like that, something's weird.
I agree. I don't think my husband could flip on a switch like that.
Same. Yeah.
It's Jeremy not like they were in imminent jeopardy. It's not like he was protecting them from threat at that moment. He was like, she recognizes that you were pregnant at her funeral. Like,
yeah.
And so someone made a mistake and had sex when we were grieving.
Right.
Like,
right, right. Someone else also brought up what you said. How could he have been driving and walked away unscathed? Wouldn't cops investigate? They would.
Mm, yes.
So I've never been more confused by a book. Yes.
Agreed.
Yeah. Agreed. Let's see. Do you think Verity was entirely to blame, or do you think her husband caused some crazy, or do you think Verity caused him to go balls to the wall? They fed off each other. Possibly.
I think they fed off each other.
Yeah. That could definitely be it. Someone said the truth lies in the middle. But someone said, what would you keep in the floorboards if you were Verity?
Oh, well, that depends. Which Verity am I?
Are you manuscript Verity or letter Verity? I don't know. I don't know what I'd keep in those floorboards.
Because, okay, let's say we're letter Verity and she's scared of Jeremy, but she's herself.
Maybe that's why the knife is in there.
Well, that's the thing. That's what I was going to say. So we're sharing a brain. So she has a knife and she has it to protect herself against Jeremy because she's scared of Jeremy if we're letter Verity.
Yeah.
Crew is in there and somehow falls and cuts himself with the knife.
Yes.
Right? How does that happen?
Don't know.
If she's like with it, why is he, was he holding the knife? Why does he fall off the bed? Why does he fall off the bed holding the knife? Why does he fall onto the knife? Like, right. I just have so many questions about that scene.
Well, also, why is he using a knife and cutting his gums?
That's the second time, right? Yeah. Like he's so nervous about telling Loen that he bites the knife rather than tell her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Because he's trying to protect his mom or because he's scared of his mom?
And also, I mean, he's only 5. So, you know, I mean, his brain is little enough that he could very much be, you know, like manipulated to thinking whatever. You know what I'm saying? So.
Absolutely. You know what who I wish we could talk to?
April?
The editor.
Oh, the editor. Yeah.
Oh, and April. And yes, April. Both.
Like April. So, yes. And I think a lot of people said that. Yeah. Like, why not talk to the editor? And like, why did no one try to reach out to the editor?
Because if, I don't know. Okay, so let's say it's all above board and Verity got in this accident and then Loen was asked to continue the series. Wouldn't her previous editor be a logical person to have looped in on this? Because she knows, like, Verity's writing process. She would know better than anyone else what she planned for the next books. Like,
right. And she
would easily be able to back up whether she recommended this antagonistic journaling based on Verity's own relationship.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, she could easily either clear the air or confirm.
Absolutely.
Just one person. She's
like a very logical person to be looped in on this. Like, what happened to her? Where'd she go?
Yeah. I don't know.
Because, like, you said earlier, like, how could a mother write that manuscript? Even if you're putting yourself into the worst version of yourself, like, the thing that, like, got me from the beginning was she writes it as an autobiography. And she says, like, if I'm doing this right, you should have distaste for the author after reading an autobiography.
Yeah, like, I was like, well,
why? Unless you're, like, a terrible person. Like,
yeah, she does.
I mean, I feel like
that.
If I wrote my autobiography right now, including being completely honest, I don't think people would necessarily have a distaste for me. That doesn't necessarily mean you're being honest unless you are a villain. So it's a weird thing to write.
Yes. I thought that too. I actually marked that. Yeah, she said, one should walk away from an autobiography with, at best, an uncomfortable distaste for its author. I will deliver. What you will read will taste so bad at times. You'll want to spit it out, but you'll swallow these words and they will become a part of you, a part of your gut, and you will hurt because of them. Yeah, I mean, I feel like if I was to write an autobiography about myself right now, you wouldn't feel that about me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could share some, like, you know, dark times and just things where I mentally haven't been well, you know, but, like, you would not read my autobiography.
But I don't think you would hate,
like,
me or even dislike me.
Yeah. And then
Verity says in the letter, doesn't she say that she wrote that whole thing as, like, initially because her editor suggested it, and then after that because she thought it could be useful to other writers. Well, why don't you write something like that at the beginning of your thing?
You know what else is interesting?
Why don't you write, like, this is a writing exercise. I hope this to be useful to you, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I would think. Right. What's also interesting is the quote that's in the beginning. It's in chapter one of the manuscript, and it says, find what you love and let it kill you.
Mm.
She found Jeremy.
You know, that reminds me of, do you remember when Angelina Jolie and Billy Bob Thornton were married and she, like, wore, like, a vial
of his blood
and she got, like, a tattoo that said, like, what nourishes you destroys you.
Yeah. Didn't, what's her name?
That's very dark.
Yeah. Didn't, I feel like someone else just did an interview about that. What's the girl's name? Megan Fox. And isn't she married to like...
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. I feel like something similar.
I'm not cool enough.
Is it Brian Austin Green? Is it Brian Austin?
No, that's who she married before, but now she's with...
Hold on, I gotta look it up. I know, I'm probably not cool enough to know his name either.
No, he's like
that guy.
Yeah, that guy with the bleach hair.
Machine Gun Kelly. Yeah,
that's right.
That's who it is. Okay.
Oh my word.
Yeah, look, she confirms that they do drink each other's blood, but only for ritual purposes. Okay. Well,
It's okay. It's only for ritual purposes.
Only for ritual purposes.
Like, not just for whatever other purposes there could be.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, you know what? It's working for her, though, because she looks great, I guess. So. Like, is that the key? I don't know. Maybe it is. She looks fantastic. So maybe that's her skincare.
Lauren,
I mean, they do. That's sorry, what they do. I'm that choking, in microneedling, maybe. You know, like they basically take your blood and then, I don't know, maybe there's something to it.
They do. Actually, my pharmacist literally... Okay, so this woman at my local pharmacy is the best pharmacist I've ever had. She knows your name when you call. She knows your name when you walk in.
Oh, I love
she
that.
Renews your prescriptions for you. She's the most amazing person. She's also one of the most beautiful people I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Best skin.
Does she do microneedling?
I've ever seen in real life. Yes.
Yeah, I know.
So
I'm going to do it.
I went in there recently for a vaccination and she mm-hmm. told me, I was like, okay, you got to tell me your secret.
Yes.
And she was like, microneedling.
Microneedling
with
PRP.
The one where they take your own. Yes, yes. PRP. Exactly is what she said.
Yes. I'm actually going to do it soon. I was supposed to do it and then COVID happened. So I'm going to do it. But yes, they take your blood and then they put it through, I think, through this little like machine thing.
Yeah.
And then yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's some downtime with it, which is why I haven't been able to do it yet because I'm too nervous. They're going to be like, you need to go on air. My face is going to be red. But it works. So apparently it works. So I don't know. Maybe there's something.
Okay. I want to say a couple other things that like tweak me to Jeremy in case people are like, what, Jeremy? What? Okay, so I already mentioned that I think there's a chance that he set up the meeting with Loan, knew what she looked like, mm-hmm. pushed the guy into the street. There's also the fact that he went by her pen name. Supposedly this was for her benefit, but it's also clearly for his. Like, no one knew her real name in their regular life.
Right.
He intentionally had unprotected sex, which
yes.
was... consensual, because then she ended up like putting a pillow under her butt to
yes.
like keep his semen in. But yeah. that also seemed very strange. It seemed like he was trapping her.
Yes. Agreed.
And he had done the same with Verity, right? Didn't
yes.
he? They had unprotected. Yeah.
Yes.
I feel like there's a lot of clues that Jeremy is not all what he seems to be. I feel like there's a lot of clues that Verity is not all what she seems to be. I feel like there's a lot of clues that Loan is not all mm-hmm. what she seems to be. So I think when Colleen writes, we are all chronics. Yes, they're chronics in that trauma has repeatedly happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like there's more there. I feel
yeah.
like these people have found each other and wound into each other's lives, and none of them is the uninjured party.
Yeah, there's like, no happy ending here.
No, I think they have all played a part in it. The parts, like the extent to the parts, maybe could be contested, but we cannot contest that they've all played a part.
Yeah.
Right?
Agreed. Yeah.
I think they're all awful.
All of them, literally. There's no, that's what I mean. It's just not a happy ending. But what's so funny is I get some people who message me and are like, is all of her books like Verity? I'm like, no.
No. No.
Not at all. This is like a total one-off of this type of writing for her. Like her
so
other books
dark.
Are nothing like this. I mean, Layla's a little weird. Did you read Layla?
I didn't yet.
Okay.
No, I haven't yet. That's
okay.
Better grammar.
It's a little twisty. It's not like this, but it's definitely like, I don't know how she came up with this story. It's very... very.
I mean, her books have dark elements, but I feel like they.
Yeah,
like,
this is a bit out
there at the end.
This is a bit out there. I don't want to yeah. ruin it for you. It's still a very good book, but it's a bit out there. Like, and I was like,
yeah.
okay,
ruin it. How could you ruin it?
I don't want to spoil it for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to tell you what it's about because I feel like if I tell you, like,
oh, Layla, I, you mean
Layla? Yeah, yeah.
Okay, okay, okay.
Yeah. But yes, this is just. I don't know. It's so twisted. And I think, again, the brilliance in it is that it's been how long since we've read it the first time, and we're still
3 years the first time.
It's like everyone's still like, wait, that book was just
but this. And I hear from people who are on Lowen's side. I hear from people who are on Verity's side. There's people who are like, Jeremy's like, he just like panicked and killed the girl, you know? So it's like, I feel like she intentionally wrote it for us to have questions.
Oh, for sure. She
intentionally added the epilogue for us to have continued questions.
Yeah, I think people were thinking they were going to get the answer of whether it was the manuscript or the letter. I did not expect that. Like, I don't expect her to just be like, this is what I think.
No.
She has t-shirts now. Did you see that? You could buy team manuscript.
I posted them today. Letter.
Yeah. So funny. I don't know what I want. What I need, like, team somewhere in the middle.
That comment that you read where someone was like, both?
Yeah.
I think that's it. So we posted polls on our Instagram, whether you were team manuscript, team letter, something else, like neither was true or both were true, whatever. And the majority of people, whether they had read the epilogue or not, all said manuscript.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Manuscript.
And I feel like that's where I am. I feel like there's truth in the letter. I don't feel like Jeremy is innocent, and I don't feel like Lowen is innocent, but I do feel like the majority of what Verity wrote in the manuscript is true for the things that we discussed before. I just think that they were all troubled individuals who found each other.
Very much so. And I worry, hopefully, you know what? I actually do not want any more of this book.
Oh, no, please don't. Please don't write
Colleen.
15 years.
Yeah, don't. No. We don't need. We do not need.
I don't want to know.
I remember when someone was like, wait, she's writing an epilogue? Why? Like, I can't take more of this book. So, yeah, I don't need a second book. I don't want to know what happens. I'm okay. I don't want to know about Crew. I don't want to know about Lowen. I don't want to know about Nova. Poor Nova.
So there's a friend of yours who is a very faithful listener to our podcast and on our account. And she's like, let's just bury this book where it belongs.
I know. We need to just end it.
Let's
we
bury
need to be
it
like,
under the ground where it can't hurt anybody.
You know
else.
How, have you watched Friends?
Of course.
Okay. So you know how Joey puts books in the freezer so that he doesn't
have
it? It's like what we need to do with it. Just freeze it out. Like, it's going in the freezer. And
what
that's where
it's in there,
stays.
Little Women, right?
Yes. Because he didn't want to know what happened. Yeah. He didn't want to know
Beth.
What happened.
Beth.
Poor Beth. Yeah. So I know. That's what we got to do. We just got, like, it's got to just go. We reread it for this podcast. We have recorded the podcast. I'm closing the book and I'm putting it away.
Yeah. So you know what you need to do, though? You need to put it on the ground and put like a salt circle around it.
You know, burn some sage. Like, sage it out, you know? Yeah, something. Oh, I don't know. Something. Yeah, it's just.
I don't want to think about it anymore.
No. And the cover even creeps me out. Did you ever look at the cover of this book and see what it is?
No, what is it?
It's Harper in the fishing net. And if you look closely.
It is not.
It is. That's a fishing net. In the black version of the book, you can actually see a dock in the background. You can't in this one. And my mom has she never read it. I was like, here, if you want to be really, you know, go ahead, read Verity. She never gave it back. But you can see. Do you have a hard copy?
No,
hold on, wait.
I've
I'll
only read
up.
This. I have the ebook and then I have the audiobook.
Okay, hold on. I'm
and
pull
so
it
I
now.
Can I can see the drawing, but it's not clear enough on those formats to see what it is.
Okay, so I'm gonna pull it up on my Amazon. My internet's being wonky. Okay, yeah. So right here.
Oh, you shook me.
I know. If you zoom, come on, Amazon.
It's hard on those formats, on the e-formats.
Maybe it is hard on the format. I feel like in my hardcover book, let's see. I mean, not
well,
my hardcover,
just
my
when
paperback.
You held that up to the screen
Verity
right now
paperback
while we're chatting. That was
cover.
Very clearly a girl.
Yes, it's the fishing net. I can't remember when I figured that out, but it really, it did spook me. But yeah, man, I wish I had it because you can see dock in the background. I feel maybe it's my eyes like playing tricks on me, but I swear on my book it looks like a dock. Maybe not. But anyway, that is a fishing net.
It would make sense either way. Oh.
Because I always wondered what that was. And then I remember I think maybe I Googled to be like, what is the cover? Or I'm in her cohort's Facebook group. So I don't know. Maybe it was there and someone was like, oh, you know, have you looked at the cover? The cover spooked me even more. And then I looked at the thread and I was like, oh my God. I need this book to die. You know what I mean?
I kill it with fire.
Literally. It's crazy.
These are actual responses that we've got. I've just looked it up myself to get a close up of the cover. It 100% is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's a fishing net.
But it has the mirror image as well.
It does have the mirror.
Which makes you think oh my gosh, we could delve into this so much deeper. Alice in Wonderland and through the mirror and how things are backwards and what's really true. And oh my gosh, what a great choice for whoever designed that cover.
Yeah, right. I mean, I feel like exactly. And with Verity in the middle, I'm looking to see if she says anything. No, maybe not. I don't know. I can see some things on TikTok, but I don't want to open them and then have it play.
So
hypothetically,
so if we know that the virtues that Verity had left to write about, so the three books that Loan was supposed to write were courage, truth, and honor. We know truth is Verity, so take that one out of it. Mm-hmm. Courage and honor. I'm just trying to figure out, does that give us a clue to what is the truth if we look at what took courage and what was honorable to have done? I bet you there's a clue there.
Probably, but I also feel like Colleen probably also doesn't know the answer to that question. I don't think she knows.
I often wonder if authors that write these kinds of novels, they probably have an inkling of what they think is, I think it was this, or their characters told
She
them
did.
This.
She does have that, something like that in her group. She did go into a whole thing about it and said that. And she did say she leans more towards one than the other. Anyway, if you're on Facebook, it's Colleen Hoover's Cohorts. That's the name of her Facebook group that she actively participates in. So I love when authors do that. Too. I'm also in Abby Jimenez's group. I love when authors frequently share. And you get sneak peeks of things. She converses. She posting. So she
it's
did.
Wonderful. Right. Diana Gabaldon, I've been in her message. She's not on, it's not so much in her Facebook group, but for a decade or more than a decade, she's had these message boards that precede social media. That she converses in. And I love it.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Yeah, she even...
Okay, go ahead.
No, right, I was going to say, she just even talks about... I don't know. She's just great. I would just go in the group. What were you going to say?
We'll link it in our show notes. I just was scanning over my notes to see if we missed anything. And I just remember how Verity in the manuscript, when she was talking about their sex life... How she was like, ugh, men, a dismissive comment.
Yeah.
But it was about how when she would give Jeremy oral sex and how she would pretend to choke on him.
Mm-hmm.
And that would give him, that would be enough to take him over the edge. And I was like, there's a choking thing with Jeremy for sure.
Oh, he for sure has a choking thing. Yeah.
He for sure has a choking thing.
Because I feel like that came up somewhere else too.
It came up a few times. He did it to Loewen one time too, didn't he? Didn't he? He grabbed her neck in the shower, maybe. Was it the shower?
Something. Something came up. Yeah, he's got some. What I mean. He is just.
There is more to all of them, I think. They're very complex. The story is complex. I don't think we're ever supposed to know what's true or not true. And that's how it should be, I guess.
Yeah. Ugh. Anyway, can we bury this now? Can we be done?
With salt. With salt.
With salt. We're going to pour and put a salt circle
Behead
around it.
And bury it with salt.
Putting it in the freezer, saging the room. Okay. We're going to do all the things. And we don't ever want to talk Verity again. We're closing it.
Colleen, we loved it. Thank you.
It's
don't
just
ever
so
do that again.
Twisty. Yeah. I don't know if my brain can handle any more.
No.
I just need her normal. But on a positive note, guess what arrived in my mailbox? Speaking of Colleen Hoover today.
It starts with us.
Oh, yeah. So as soon as it's 10:20 where I am. I'm going to hang up, have a little snack, and hopefully read for an hour before I go to bed. So,
you know what I think is funny? We won't go into it, but I'll say that, like, after I finished re-listening to this in preparation for the podcast, I was like, I need a palate cleanser.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need Meghan Quinn.
Yeah, I know. I always go for a Meghan Quinn palate cleanser. Her
and
says
both
a
of both of us just read her Runaway newest Christmas book. I just think that's wonderful that we, like, reached the same way. We're like, we need Meghan.
Loved it. There were so many new releases this week. So
it was a big week.
Huge week.
I'm overwhelmed right now.
Yeah. So I read Runaway Groomsman, Elle Kennedy's Bad Girl Complex. No, Bad Girl Reputation came out. So
Bad Girl Reputation, sequel to Good Girl Complex.
Yes, I actually started reading that, but I'm putting it on hold because I want to read It Starts With Us. And then what else? Another one came out this week.
Oh, there was a bunch. I posted about one in our stories that I had read recently, and it was like an arc. I didn't really know anything about it, and it ended up, like, really surprising me how much I loved it.
Oh, I saw you post that. Yeah. And Meghan Quinn's actually coming out with another one very soon.
Built to Last was the one.
Yes. Okay. I saw that. Meghan Quinn is coming out with
Yes.
Yeah. It's called Untying the Knot.
And Tessa Bailey as well.
Yeah.
Tessa Bailey has a new one coming out soon. I'm very excited to read.
Yes. I know. I was chatting with her and she said she was going to send me an arc. I was like, please.
Yay.
I know.
So, by the time, not by the time you listen to this, but by the time we continue our next episode, I will have met Diana Gabaldone.
I cannot. I'm so excited for you.
Who is the author that brought us together
through
the Outlander series.
I'm so excited for you.
It's like my countdown is on. It's happening this weekend. I am so excited.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to rein myself in so I don't freak her out. but I can't wait to talk about it.
Are you going to bring any? I know. I want to hear all about it. Are you going to bring anything for her to sign?
So I have a big collection of her books. So I kind of keep an eye out for them in thrift stores because I like to collect, like, the older covers and things like that. But the ones I've bought new, she has four of the nine big books, the main books of the series, have come out in their anniversary editions. And only the first one I bought from a bookstore that didn't have a signing capability. So the very first Outlander book. The other ones have all been signed by her and personalized, because I ordered them from her local bookstore.
Oh, right.
The first one I didn't. So I am going to bring it with me, but then I'm going to kind of feel out the situation.
Okay.
And see. You know, there's no formal signing kind of opportunity, but I'm going to have it with me in my backpack and we'll just see what happens.
Okay. Well, I hope, I hope you can.
Thank you.
I'm very excited for you. So you're going to have to tell us about
it. Thank you, my friend.
I'm very excited myself.
We will definitely talk about it.
For sure. I'm looking to see. I can't remember what the other book was. Anyway, I'll figure
it out. I literally feel like I'm drowning in stories right now.
Oh, and same.
I mean that in the very best way.
My TBR just got very large. It, like, diminished. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, I got to, like, add some, you know. And then all of a sudden I got all the books that I had pre-ordered a while ago because everything released the same week. And I'm like, oh. And then I have to read. I got the two for our live for the October books. So, but I want to read those closer to when we chat about it. So anyway. Mm-hmm. All right. So I think that's it. Verity is buried.
That's it for today.
Goodbye.
It's out of here.
See you later. I just tossed it. It's going to go in my bookshelf and I'm not talking about it again. All right. So I don't know what book we're chatting next, but stay tuned over on our Instagram at LitChicksRead. We'll share there. And that's also where we link our SpeakPipe. We have our Patreon that we'd love for you to join us in. We are extending the chats over there. And what else, Cheryl?
Those are the big ones.
I think that's the big
one. We have the TikTok as well. So go over there for a little bit of fun. And we are always open in our comments and DMs. If you have a great suggestion for us, then give it to us. Read what we have read and tell us what you thought about it. We love the community we're building over there.
We love that you're listening. Please also, we would love for you to rate the podcast, leave us a comment, you know, all the good stuff. And stay tuned for the next one when we figure out what it is.
We need like a little bit of time.
I know. Right, we have to decompress after Barry. Yeah. It's fine. It's okay. They understand. They have to decompress too. We promise it won't be a dark one like this. It'll be something much lighter. Much more lighter. All right. We'll chat with you next time.
Okay. Thanks for listening.